For a short while, I'll bring your attention to something which I do believe the Lord has laid on my heart. And 2 weeks ago when I preached, and we're grateful for the word that Michael brought last week, and then next week Mark will be preaching. But I spoke on family curses and about raising biblical families that bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ, which are set apart from the world, different to the world. And that means you're the family of four, five, six, it may be a couple, it may be a single, but that we are full of Christ, full of his word, full of his power, full of his anointings, that we can stand against the trends of the world. Unfortunately, we can be more fashionable than conformed to the image of the word of God, the Lord, and his word. But this morning, I believe that God would bring a word to you, which may be a challenging word, but also, I pray, an encouraging word. And Lord, speak to me as I believe he has been speaking to me this week. Let me tell you, dead people don't have a future. Dead people don't have a future. But people who have been raised have a glorious future. Dead people do not have a future. Only resurrected people have a future. Hallelujah. And I wonder how many of us here this morning have been resurrected, have been raised to life. If you haven't been raised to life yet, it means that you're still dead. You're still dead in sins, dead in trespasses. But the call of the Lord, even this morning, is you don't have to stay dead. Hallelujah. Because the miracle working power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because of his love, because of his amazing love, because of his grace, he doesn't want anyone to stay dead spiritually, but to come alive in the Lord Jesus Christ, to be true followers and worshippers of the Lord. Don't stay dead, because if you die physically when you're still spiritually dead, you've got an eternity of wrath and fear in front of you. But people who have been resurrected by the newness of life have a glorious future. Hallelujah. And I pray this morning that God will indeed speak to us and challenge us and change us, so that truly this church and us as individuals, couples and families will be dynamically in power and in favor of the Lord, that we choose to bow our knees to the Lord Jesus Christ and then rise up again in adoration and worship, because his power and love is upon us, that we truly become a church of impact. Turn with me, and we're looking to begin with at some words of Jesus. And my guess is that if Jesus speaks them, we ought to be listening and we ought to be obeying. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24 and 25. Matthew 16, verses 24 and 25. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And then in the Gospel of John chapter 12 and verse 24. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. Again is Jesus speaking. "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life." What exactly does Jesus mean? This is pretty tough. This is radical stuff. We know it, we've read it, and we've sought to put it into practice. But hey, is the Lord saying something to us, to me, to you this morning, which is going to radically transform our lives? That people around us will know these people have been with Jesus. They have truly been raised to life. They know they have a future. That we, as we said the other week, will be shining as lights, shining as stars in this crooked and perverse society and nation and communities. Radically different for Jesus. Because the Lord has come, He's healed our hurts, He's been and comforted us, He's put compassion upon us, He's poured out His grace upon us. He has healed us, He's restored us, He's forgiven us. Now we know we're His and His alone. What exactly does Jesus mean in these passages? You see, being a Christian, living in the West, living in England, has meant for the past many years very little martyrdom. There's been the odd one or two that have lost their lives for Jesus. But by and large, certainly in Britain, there's been very few who, in the last several years, many years, who've lost their life because of their love and service for Jesus Christ. That's very difficult. I mean, here we're talking about losing one's life so that we've got something to keep for eternity. What exactly? You think of China. Think of Pakistan. Think of some of the Middle East countries. There, for the believer, for the follower of Jesus, and please, we've got so much literature on that back table to help and inspire you in your prayers, inspire you in your faith. Hallelujah. People who are literally laying down their lives for Jesus, but they're inheriting something immensely more lovely and powerful and glorious. We heard a few weeks ago in Answers in Prophecy about how those who've given their lives over the years for Jesus, not the mad fanaticism of Islam, which says that as they take life, they are going to have a greater glory and privilege and paradise will be immensely. That is false, that is evil. But those who have died for Jesus, those who have been willing to say, I must live, I must die for Christ. I give my all to Jesus. He is worthy of my life. He's worthy of everything. Those who have given their lives for Jesus, the martyrs through the ages, hallelujah, the enemy has taken notice and it's a defeat for him. Because what he wants is cowards. The enemy wants cowards, but Christ wants victorious living people who know how to overcome, who know that even if they're called to lay down their lives in service of Jesus, that death has lost its sting. For them it is far better. For those who are living in other countries, the pressure can be intense. Read the magazines. A prison term is likely. Torture, quite probable. The hatred can be ferocious. Would you be a Christian in Pakistan? Would I be a Christian in Pakistan or North Korea? Because your own family might well betray you. Back to our passages, the John's passage says, most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, because it will just end in futile. It will be futile. But he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. He who knows this isn't their home, that their citizenship is above, that they're passing through. But as they're passing through, they have a purpose, they have a vision, they have a destiny, and it is to fulfill the will of the Lord in their lives. It's being obedient to the Lord. So what does Jesus really mean? Could it be a call to martyrdom? Britain, America, the West, I think the days are coming. I do, as radical fundamentalist Islam gets its hold and the enemies, the despotic enemies The principalities, the powers that are raging at this moment to try and destroy. I think friends and the government and others recognize the real threat. We are the infidels. We are the hated ones with the Israel, with the Jews. If you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the word of God for us this morning is to encourage us to stand. And I think the significance of connect groups is so real, because part of it, as I said in my introductory remarks, that we are to encourage each other, to exhort each other, to care for each other. When one's feeling faint, we pray and hold up their hands. When one is feeling the pressure from family, you don't need to go to church. You don't need to witness in the streets. You don't have to go to your neighbours. You don't have to show that you're a Christian. You don't have to say, hey, it's tough for me. Please help me. And as a family, we pray. We've heard from the testimony just now how a couple have seen God's love, God's work, that this is a family of God. And there's so much more we can do to help and to encourage and to inspire one and another. I'm so excited. I think the time is coming when you and I might be called to seal our testimony with our blood. Do I look forward to it? No, I don't. By nature, I'm a coward. Bigger coward than any of you. That's why I'm relying on Christ. When he says, be bold, be courageous, I am with you. Don't trust in flesh, trust in the name of the Lord. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And I know that what God may call you or me to do for his glory, if we are willing, if we're obedient, made willing the day of his power, his grace will be sufficient. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I cannot deny you, Lord. But the time is coming, even for our children, that if they do not agree to the ISIS brand of Islam, you may be murdered as an infidel. And if this is what is required to follow Jesus, are we still going to follow him? Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. Matthew 10, verse 28. And do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I want to fear God. I want to have a righteous fear of the Lord. You know, this wasn't just true in the days of Caesar. You know, hail Caesar, all be killed. It will be true for us today. Hallelujah. And God wants us to be a radical church for Jesus. That is encouraging each other, standing tall for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Not ashamed of Jesus. Is Jesus ashamed of you? By his grace, he isn't. Hallelujah. He's not ashamed to call you a brother. He's not ashamed to call you a sister. He's adopted you into his family. Hallelujah. Blessed be his name. Please, Lord, I don't want to be ashamed of you. And I thank you, Lord, that I'm surrounded by brothers and sisters, by the true family of God, who are going to help me to still stand, to still follow you. Hallelujah. Who will bring the encouraging words of God to me to say, hey, faint not nor fear. God is near. Hallelujah. What's Jesus saying in this passage? And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. He's saying, don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of people. The fear of man brings a snare. But hey, the fear of God, it brings wisdom, it brings grace. Hallelujah. What's the worst they can do? Kill the body. That's the worst they can do. We're called to lose our life anyway. And I say again, for the believer, death has lost its sting. So, as we soon bring this to a conclusion, because I really Please, Lord. Holy Spirit, work in me, work in our midst. Are we too at home in this world? Are we loving our life in this world too much? Am I holding on to things which God is saying, you've got to let go? If my blessing and fruitfulness is going to be manifest in your life so that others see the good works of Jesus Christ in you, in and through you, and in and through this church, what have you held on to, Jim, which you've got to let go? I don't want to be too at home in this world. I thank God there's much to enjoy. God has given us much to enjoy. Hallelujah. He has given us much to enjoy. Praise God. There is much to enjoy. And we should give thanks to God for the benefits and blessings that we have. We have much to enjoy. But we must not be at home here in this world. We must not have the humanistic mindset that I'm here for my pleasure and to make money and all these which are legitimate things, but that's it. We must have the biblical worldview. What is pleasing to you, Lord? We said the other week, hey, the people of God bring pleasure to him. And he wants us to bring pleasure to him. Hallelujah. What have I got to die to? What have I got to let go? What have you? Somebody has written, we are more familiar with fashion than with fasting, and more accustomed to pleasure than to passion. And I think he was referring to the passion of Jesus Christ, the sufferings of Christ. I pray that may not be true of us. And if it is, that something radically changes in my life and in your life today. And that, you know, cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Cheap grace, where we're living as if, well, God's grace is sufficient and just doing our own thing and saying sorry or whatever. Cheap grace is living without discipleship. It's grace without the cross. It's grace without Jesus Christ. And I think the Church of Jesus Christ, by and large, particularly in the West, you see, if you go to and see believers in India, if you see believers in some of the Middle East countries, if you see some of the believers in Pakistan, and if you read their testimonies, this is normal Christian life when they're up against it. But they are dependent upon the Lord, and the power of God is in their lives. They live as supernatural witnesses for Jesus Christ. That's normal Christian life. What we've had in this country has not been normal. It's been abnormal, subnormal, whatever, unnormal. But it's time to turn back to God. We sang that beautiful song, Praise is Rising. We're turning back to you. And at this point in the history of this church, and we thank God for all that is past. We thank God for all he's done, but what he's going to be doing in and through you in these coming days, in times perhaps of increasing hostility, we thank God that he is at work, and we're going to be increasingly transformed to his image. We need to turn back. Perhaps we're so afraid to lose our lives in worship and service, we're hanging on to our lives. But Jesus is calling us to let go, to follow him, to be obedient. And you know, turning back to God, that does perhaps involve repentance, and I've had to do a bit of that this week. How, despite the Bible study that we had, I can blow it immediately. So repentance is real. Saying sorry is real. But receiving the Father's heart of arms outstretched, and also the love of brothers and sisters whom I may have offended. Hallelujah. Repentance is acknowledging God's grace at work. Repentance is God's activating grace. Hallelujah. And I praise God, even today, he's remaking, he's restoring, he's repairing. That's his work. True repentance, as the scripture says, is the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. Are we willing to lose our rights? Jesus calls us to be free. Jesus wants you a free man. Jesus wants you a free woman. Hallelujah. Jesus wants us to be set totally free, living for him. Hallelujah. Taking up our cross, following him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. For this is commendable, if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. But to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Friends, we have to die to our reputation, then we will be free. Hallelujah. Which means we are called to love our enemies, to bless those who curse us, to pray for those who mistreat us. That is part of dying to self. We must overcome evil with good. We must rid ourselves of anger, rage, malice, and slander. Such are improper for God's holy people. Are we willing to follow the Lord? God is willing. God is willing to be a co-worker, co-laborer with us, and to fill us with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Our only right, we have to die to rights. Our only right is to please God. That's our right, to bring glory to him, to please him. We must die to reputation. Hey, we were slaves to sin. We were. But we have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. Are we willing to? We could give numerous illustrations of people who've suffered for the sake of Jesus Christ, and yes, even in recent times, recent days. But I think of John Wesley. There's John and Charles Wesley. John Wesley was quite regularly pelted with rocks, with dead animals, rotten fruit. Charles Finney was another one. Often he would be preaching and his effigy would be burned. That's what's going to happen to you, Finney, if you stop preaching, if you don't stop preaching the gospel. But they were willing to lose their lives and be identified with Christ. The Release magazine, Open Doors, Barnabas, the magazines on that back table are full of testimonies to encourage us and for that and for us to pray for our fellow believer. We've got opposition, of course we have. Sometimes that opposition is with those very close to us. But friends, I pray that none of us will be moved by those who are spiritually dead. Don't be held back by mere flesh and blood. Not in these days. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Reputations must be nailed to the cross. I say dead people have no future. Resurrected people have a future. We have been raised with him. Our final scripture is Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. We heard testimonies last week from a dear couple that in the flesh want to be back here with their family. That's what that their desire is, and pray that a way will be made open. But first and foremost, they have to be obedient to the Lord. And if the Lord wants them in another country, Argentina, Spain, France, Timber, wherever, that's where they've got to be. I want that heart. I want that desire. I want that motivation. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 to 4. It's on the screen. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Let go. Let go. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I know, brothers and sisters who may be sitting in this congregation this morning, are hearing these words. And I pray they will not be Jim's words, but the words which the Holy Spirit is using to bring conviction, to bring conversion, to bring life, to bring radical changes. I know that thinking, but you don't know my circumstances. You don't know who I'm living with. You don't know the precious. No, may know a little, but I know one who does. Hallelujah. Keep looking up. Put Christ first. Hallelujah. And he will make a way where there's no way. I'm following you, Lord Jesus. My family is following you, Lord Jesus. I worship you and worship you alone. What I've just read from Colossians chapter 3, that's normal Christian life. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but who died for them and was raised again. Our lives belong to him. Thank you, Lord. Let's just quieten ourselves before the Lord. Spirit of God, come upon us. How we can become too cozy and comfortable. Conform to this word rather than conform to Jesus Christ and his kingdom. He wants his kingdom to break out amongst us even now. The kingdom of God to break out amongst us. And I do believe the Lord is stirring Christians and believers in other churches and parts of this town and in the surrounding communities. I believe he's stirring up a people to become true soldiers of Jesus Christ. And if he's calling you this morning, he will equip you. If he's calling you to make a stand in your family, his anointing will be upon you. He will not leave you. If he's calling you to make a stand in the workplace, do not fear what man can do. Do not fear what they can say, the slander, the mockery, but fear God. He who has the power to destroy body and soul, man cannot destroy the soul. Man cannot destroy the life, the breath of the Lord himself in you. He cannot destroy the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. All these things can be scary in the flesh, but the flesh has died. I no longer live. Christ lives in me. Hey, Christ lives in me. What have I to fear? During our time of worship, you need to respond in any way, do so as the Lord leads you. It can be done where you are, it can be done kneeling at the altar. Well, we haven't got an altar, but you know what I mean. Let God have his perfect way amongst us. Hallelujah. His perfect way amongst us. Some of us may have blown it, even in today or in recent days, and as we confess and come before the Lord, he restores us completely. He makes whole. I love that psalm. He forgives all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. I love that reading that we had read. If God be for us, who can be against us? Tribulation, trials, the flames, the anger, the slander, the hatred of the world, Islam, whatever that comes from the pit, can it destroy us? No, it can't. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Though I am weak, in Christ I'm strong. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is our confession. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. What a Saviour we serve.